Hi, Jess.
Hi, Liam.
So set this up for us now. What does the solar landscape look like right now?
Well, I find it easiest to think about solar having three fingers of development. There's residential solar. These are panels on people's houses. They're paid for by the homeowner. Then there's these large commercial or industrial installations. They're producing energy for power companies. The third finger is community solar. Sometimes this is called shared solar. And this is larger scale solar arrays that individuals can buy shares in, kind of like a solar co-op where you own the energy produced by your share.
So it sounds like there's a lot going on.
Yeah, but the reality is that solar only accounts for 0.1% of Oregon's energy mix as of 2014. So it has a long way to go. For solar to be a significant part of the state's move away from coal, there's going to have to be a lot more large-scale projects happening. I spoke with Michael Doherty. He's the head of the state's Public Utility Commission. He says things are moving in that direction.
I think it's just going to continue to increase, especially in certain areas of the state where you're going to have larger installations, maybe some utility scale solar. And then I think it's an important contributor and will be an important contributor to the state of Oregon.
So how's that going to happen?
Well, in March, Governor Kate Brown signed a law that offers fiscal incentives for these larger scale solar projects, which should give them a better chance of penciling out for developers. Eastern and here in Southern Oregon, where the quality of the sun is best, those are the areas that are most likely to see projects popping up.
Okay, Jess, you recently took a visit to one of the oldest community solar projects in Oregon. It's right here in Ashland, to find out what's going on. Let's take a listen to that.
So take me to Pioneer 2.
Okay, have you seen it yet?
I think I did.
Okay.
This is Solar Pioneer 2, located in Ashland, which has a city-owned electric utility. And that's Larry Jardina, the city's conservation analyst.
That's 363 panels that's installed on the city's service center's covered parking structure. Let's go look at the inverter and I can actually show you the output.
Okay. Ashland was an early adopter of community solar. It was an idea that really captured Jardina's imagination.
I was very much around and very instrumental in arranging this system.
But as it turned out, the city was only able to sell about half their subscriptions before the technology got better and cheaper and subsidies changed. And Pioneer 2 wasn't a good deal anymore. So people stopped buying shares. But what Jardina did for Oregon is to help make the road less bumpy for others pushing their own projects.
You think outside the box and you consider everything because you don't want to suffer unintended consequences, but you also don't want to be limited by what's been done before.
So, Jess, is community solar catching on?
I'd say slowly it is, though not nearly as quickly here as in Washington, which has healthy community solar subsidies in place to get projects off the ground. But soon, investor-owned utilities in Oregon, like PGE and Pacific Power, they're going to be brought into this. And the Oregon Utility Commission is coming up with rules right now to allow these companies to develop shared solar projects. But perhaps even more importantly, the commission is trying to figure out how much utilities should have to pay for that solar energy, and they're exploring a relatively new concept. It's called value of solar.
Aren't people already getting paid for the solar they produce?
Yeah, but think of value of solar as solar pricing 2.0. It tries to get at the complexities of just how much solar is worth to the electric system. This switch could be the most important change that happens for solar in Oregon over the next few years, because if the value of solar is set too high, utilities and their ratepayers will be stuck subsidizing solar, kind of like they are now. With net metering, which is what's used right now, people that are using a lot of solar aren't paying for the infrastructure. And so in theory, this will help try to get around that piece of it. But the counter side of that, if the value of solar is set too low, then the solar developers won't be able to make any money. And so it won't be worthwhile. And that could just have the effect of stunting solar development.
So where does it go from here?
Well, the Public Utility Commission is developing a methodology. And we're going to hear our first check-in on that in early June.
Okay. Thanks, Jess.
Thank you.